Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show. And in studio, we're quite happy to have the fantastic Gibby Haynes and Butthole Surfers, the new book. We have it here. Me and Mr. Cigar, we'll talk about that in a minute. That music, though, I play that all the time. I didn't play that just for you.
You are lying.
I'm not lying.
You're bottom end off.
Yes, I am not lying. Let me just tell you real quick. 1983, I was a DJ in college, and I had this overnight shift. And so I brought in my own albums. And I had Jealous Again by Black Flag.
There you go.
I had the DOA album, The World
Sweet.
The World at War. I forgot what it was
You're
called.
West Coast now. You're West Coast so far.
Yeah. And I had the original Butthole Surfers album with the four silhouettes of you-know-who on it. And I remember my dad saw that album, and he just saw real big Butthole Surfers. And he's like, what the hell is this? So all the names your band has had, you knew that would hold you back, but you didn't care, did you?
No. That's funny. It was after the first practice we played a song, and our drummer goes, I was like, that actually sounded like music. And our drummer goes, yeah, Butthole Music. And I was like, that's the name of our band, Butthole Surfers. And then after that, we were like 15 different band names. 9 Foot Worm Makes Own Food, Ashtray Baby Heads.
Ed Asner is gay.
Ed Asner is gay. The
Fred Astaire's Butthole.
The Righty, yeah, that one. All of those. And we finally settled on Butthole Surfers.
I just love the fact that you make up a name like that, and then you turn 15 and change it. You're like, hell no, we're going with this, even though you knew, like, especially being in Texas, there was going to be some Bible Belt people. They were never going to play your record.
Really, is that who you want to play your record anyway, the Bible Belt people? But also, we had a friend with us in the name of Beavis and Butthead made the United States safe for the world. For the word for butt and
right.
and hole
sure
combined
and people named Cornholio
yes all of that yeah
but I remember I was playing
butt
yes I remember
you said butt,
Wichita yeah. Cathedral to me I had never heard anything like that in my life
wow you're pulling them out
you sang on that one
yes I wrote it
you I know you did everything you play sax right
ish.
Saxish.
Played-ish.
But the Shaw Sleeps in Lee Harvey's Grave, that one to me, and I was like, is this a song? Because it sounded like reverb and feedback. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute. It's like modern art. It's like, I get it now.
That was the one of the first that was a common formula back in the 80s. Quiet, loud. Quiet, loud.
Mm-hmm.
I told our guitar player, I wrote the lyrics, and I told our guitar player, I was like, whisper the lyrics, then we go big on the music.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put the mic in front of his face, and he just turned red, screaming as loud as he could.
There's a time to blank and a time what the hell?
Blank and I blank when the blank blank be blank.
But the Shaw Sleeves, Harvey's great. You have to check it out. But the great thing is that Jello heard this, Jello Biafra, and
indeed.
The Kennedys had their own Alternative Tentacles. And what did that label mean for you?
Well, they were cool. They actually... yeah, there's many stories about Jello coming down to Texas and convincing the studio owner that someone actually would pay the bill, but he did it. I don't know why he believed Jello.
Did he say, I think you're really good?
Well, I can do my Jello imitation very well. So, Bob, we'll pay you back. Don't worry. These guys are great. We're going to sell a million. We're going to sell a million, Bob.
2 parts Jack Daniels and Kool-Aid we got in the back storeroom. It's going over some people's heads here. By the way, your cousin Jessica works here, and
I can't believe it.
We've known her for 20 years, and I told her to sit in with us right now.
She's in the room.
One of the first things she told us is that she's like she's Gibby Haynes' cousin, and I was like, "Shut up, really?" And she's like, "Yeah."
The good times. We had the good times. The youth. Sweet youth.
You would go to her house in Oakland, and you would play catch with her brother, but you didn't use a baseball. What did you use?
A chain. A really big chain. You had to get the heck out of the way.
Because the circular saw blades weren't available.
Apparently not. And the ice pick had been used already.
So you think about this career you have, and it's I don't want to say niche-y, but it's fans like me that like punk and like this type of music. But then you get to Electric Larryland and then Pepper, and, oh, my gosh, the Butthole Surfers have the number one song. That was a – did you think that you'd get a time in your career you'd have something like that?
No. No, I didn't. And I'd like to say we were trying to sell out. And I'd like to say that we actually sold out. I mean, selling implies that you've got – there's a flow of consideration.
Right, right.
We gave up the song that didn't just all come back. So in – we didn't really sell out.
No. Well, there's other thing, too. Like, I remember hearing the story about Green Day when they used to play at Gilman over here in Berkeley, and they were known as Young Children. But they got a record deal, and they got an MTV, and everyone's like, oh, they sold out. And I'm like, come on. You know your band would have done the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody would. Everybody sells out.
So,
American way. It is.
You are a Renaissance man, though. I say that because you're a painter, mostly watercolors, right?
I've done it all except for oil. I've never really gotten into the oil thing that much. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It doesn't dry quick enough.
Is that right? But how much does a canvas cost? A blank canvas? Let's just say 8x10, just a little one.
Oh, you can go.
I never thought I'd ask you such a stupid question.
From free,
how much the canvas run you?
From free to thousands.
Now, when you say free, do you kind of mean like your strobe lights were free in the beginning?
No, nope, those cost us money, actual money. But you can go out and find a surface you can throw paint at for free.
That is true. I like that. Now, we'll get into the novel here on the other side. But I should mention, your dad was Mr. Peppermint.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Mr. Peppermint.
It was a super long-running children's educational approach to children's television programming, and
this was in Dallas?
In Dallas, Texas.
Mr. Rogers of Dallas.
Well, it was Mr. Rogers without the homoerotic element.
Without the clothing change?
Well, I'll just leave it at the homoerotic element.
All right. So
we all love Mr. Rogers.
I remember Mr. Rogers where he said, peanut butter. Let's see if we can make it. He took peanuts and he took butter and he mixed them together and he goes, well, that didn't work. That's what sticks with me. What's the one Mr. Peppermint lesson that you learned while watching your dad on TV?
Never accept a monkey doing cartwheels developing diarrhea as a live show, a live guest on your show.
That happened?
Or I promised myself I wouldn't get gross, but one time a rattlesnake pooped on his arm on live television.
Wow. But the monkey was doing somersaults?
Straight up. Monkey rooster tail, monkey diarrhea. Bam.
That could have been the name of your
floor
band.
Wall ceiling. Floor wall ceiling.
Hashtag floor wall ceiling. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about his novel, Me and Mr. Cigar, which has been very well received. Gibby Haynes is here. Come on back. Welcome back to the show. Donovan Brazier in the next segment, and that music was not from the Butthole Surfers, but we do have the creator here, guitarist, singer, Gibby Haynes. The new book is called Me and Mr. Cigar, a novel. We'll get to that in just a second, but we were talking about your athletic prowess. You not only played sports in high school, but you also played basketball, NCAA basketball for Trinity, and you were the captain of the team. How great was that?
I wish you wouldn't have said Trinity, just NCAA basketball.
Oh. Good enough. What, does it make you sound like a religious freak or something?
Well, no, but Division III is like
I played Division II football.
Wow.
Yeah, for a Catholic school, so I'm with you.
Wow. You played Division II, though. That is a step up.
Division III isn't like high school. It's a little bit better than that. Come on.
Yeah, we were a little bit better than high school.
Were you a small forward, power forward?
Yeah, smallish forward.
So you had a nice little jumper?
Oh, yeah, I could bury it. Oh, I could bury it. If they had three threes back in the 70s, I would have been huge.
Did you grow a big Mavericks fan?
No. Dallas Chaparrals.
The Shaps.
ABA, dude.
Back in the day with the old red, white, and blue ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dr. J was with the Philadelphia Squires. Remember that? Rick Barry with the Oakland Oaks. For
oh,
one
yep.
year.
Yep. And San Antonio, the Spurs.
Before they merged.
There was, oh, yeah.
Gilmore, the Iceman.
Oh, the Iceman, the Whopper.
Oh, yeah. I would think, though, in Texas where football is a religion, did they try to make you play football?
I quit football in the middle of practice at the beginning of eighth grade. And then I walked off the field and I was in the dressing room naked, getting ready to put on my clothes when practice was actually over and all the other members of the football team came in, surrounded me, pointing at me, chanting, "Quitter, quitter, quitter." It was like totally.
Wow.
Lord
of the Flies.
Out of the movie. Yeah. It was like, I'll get back at these guys. I'll show them.
Wow. They go, "Gibson is a quitter."
Just evil. Quitter, quitter.
Wow.
Quitter. They didn't call me Gibson either.
Wow. Oh.
It was like Giblet or heinous or I was treated cruelly.
Wow. Not that you remember or anything. All right. Let's talk about Oscar and his dog and the book Me and Mr. Cigar, available now, hardback. When did you think of it and when did you put pen to paper?
A couple of years ago. I would like to go to the acknowledgments immediately. Special no thanks to Jerry Kramer, who clearly was offsides in the waning moments of the Ice Bowl goal line stand.
So your big
undeniably got cheated out of my childhood.
What about the other great Roger Staubach moments?
Roger Staubach, thanks also to my bandmates, the Butthole Surfers, and to Dandy Don Meredith, inventor of the bomb.
The bomb, and Roger invented the Hail Mary.
And Bob Hayes.
Oh, Bob Hayes.
Number 22.
Great track star, great speedster.
The fastest man on earth.
Wow. Remember on Monday Night Football, when the game was out of hand, Dandy Don would say, "Turn out the lights, the party's over."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They say all good things must end. That's all I know. That's all he would sing is that part.
My favorite was when a New Orleans Saints fan raised their middle finger to the camera and said, I think he's just trying to tell us that his team is number one.
Yeah, that was great. That was back when they were the Aints. They had the shopping bags over their heads.
Yeah.
So you didn't end up with a twang at all when you were down there.
No, I'm not twangy, but that's Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas, you're generally sound like money.
Yeah, like Fort Worth, Plano, you guys are all got your chin in the air and you have oil, right? No oil painting, but just oil. So me and Mr. Cigar is
oil and gas.
Is the dog.
Yes, he is.
And Oscar is the young man. How old is a young man is Oscar?
At the beginning of the book in the prelude, which I've learned is part of a book that comes before the beginning of the book, he's 12 years old. Then the book begins in first person when he's 17.
Mm.
And
but the prelude is actually in the book, which is kind of misleading because it's not the book hasn't started yet, but it is the book.
It is.
It's metaphysical. It's like when they say pre-board your flight, does your spirit leave your body?
In fact, it does.
How do you pre-board? When you decided and you told your friends, "Hey, I'm writing a novel," did people say, "Yeah, whatever," or did they say, "Oh, I can't wait"?
Or, "No, I didn't know you could read."
Wow.
Yeah, I talked about it forever. It took me a couple of years to do it because I was so lazy about it, but I'd refer to it all the time. Yeah, I'm working on my book and the thing and the deal with the book and my book.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they were like, "Oh, so you're going to get a ghostwriter?" Because they assumed I was writing a book that was the memoir of my rock and roll career, which, God, those things are so lame.
Those ghostwriters, the guy sits back there on a hookah and he's like, "And then in 1969, I played Whiskey a Go-Go." And the guy's like, "Okay." I mean, he's not really writing a book, is he?
Well, the latest Keith Richards one is pretty amazing because in the minutiae, he recalls these moments in 1972, the days before the Dallas Cotton Bowl show. And this is just no way.
Did you go to that?
Yes, I was there. Mm. I was full on was there.
Cool.
With the inflatable phallus and everything. They had a phallus It's phallic.
That's right. It was a bit phallic. So this book now, you're already, it's geared for teens, which is interesting. And you're already thinking about making it a series, right?
No.
Or a sequel, at least.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, a series of books.
A series
of books,
yeah.
I thought you were talking about
like
a streaming series. I was thinking more of a movie than a series.
A feature film, yeah.
But, yeah, no, writing another one. More horrific. I wish I could be the spoiler alerter, but some things happen that my main character is not that happy about.
Here's a little blurb, a review from me and Mr. Cigar from Garth Stein, who is the New York Times number one bestselling author of The Art of Racing in the Rain. He says, quote, fast-paced, brilliantly funny, irreverent, clever, quintessential teen reading, and ipso facto a must-read for adults.
There we go.
That's high praise.
I like that.
The one I like is irreverent, because I think the death of reverence happens here, doesn't it?
It's way better than profane.
Jeff Zentner, who also is an author, says, it takes a book as hilarious, bizarre, profane,
oh, there we go.
and heartfelt as Me and Mr. Cigar to truly convey the surreality of becoming of coming of age as a teenage boy.
Coming of age.
There we are again.
Yes. That implies talking about sex.
How do I get a bra off? A coming of age story. Porky's 9. The bra. and now you live in Brooklyn.
I do.
You're over in Red Hook.
Live in Red Hook, Brooklyn.
I stayed a couple years ago in Crown Heights for a little bit. And I just think Brooklyn reminds me kind of Oakland a little bit, except more freezing in the winter.
It would be, yes, it would be mm-hmm. the, although I've never been to Oakland in the last 20 years.
Except Jesse's house.
Where the hipsters went when the city got too expensive to live in.
That's true as well, yeah. It's funny, we have people who live downtown, which we've never had before, but now they're in a high rise and their rent is literally $8,000 a month for rent.
Sweet.
So
a good cheap one.
Everyone is, yeah, heading over to Oakland now, for better or for worse, but we've taken them in. Pretty much. Where can people find out more about it? As I said, it's from Soho Teen Publishing. Do you have a little website or a Twitter for it? Or?
And that is Soho Teen, but it is the Uber company is a Penguin Random House, a little book company you might have heard of.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, because I had not heard of Soho Teen, and it's fitting that it's a New York publishing house, isn't it?
Aren't they all there?
I would probably think so. Have you had people talk to you? We only got about a minute left, but screenplays or, you know, I know who will play him.
I've been asked this many times. Who plays it? Who's going to play Oscar? Who? You know?
Oh,
I thought you said you knew who was going to play him.
No. I said, do people say, I've got him.
Oh.
And by the way, you got to put yourself in there.
I'd just be the guy on the street.
The last time you were on film, you were in an alley and somebody was performing something on you.
Yes, it was. Jim Jarmusch movie, Dead Man. I was just with Jim at a bookstore in New York.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love Jim.
Well, as I say, it's been a thrill. You're hilarious. You're multi-talented. It's Gibby Haynes, everyone. Me and Mr. Cigar, a novel available from Soho Teen, wherever good books are sold. I'm sure Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere else you can get it. Thanks for coming in, man.
City Lights Bookstore tonight.
Oh, you're going to do a signing?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
City Lights. That's like the coolest bookstore in the whole world.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know. You have to walk in there with a frown. Because
I'd like
society.
To walk in there with Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Yeah. Jack Kerouac, everybody. All right, we're going to come out, take a picture, sign the wall.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's a real honor.
Big
thank
fan.
You so much.
The honor is all mine. Come on
all
back.
Right.